A very good morning. You're listening to Michelle Ward on Phoenix 98FM. I'm here in the studio with Paul Gold, who's hot-footed it back from the council. He's coming to talk about the latest going-ons at Brentwood Borough Council.
Good morning, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, we had a lot to talk about today. First off, Hope Field always comes up on the agenda every week at the moment. Bit of a hot potato, as you know, as listeners to Phoenix FM will know. And I was down at Hope Field on Tuesday evening where the council listed the land as an asset of community value. Ooh. Not going to talk about that today. I think we've done that one. Brentwood Borough Council already own the land to the south of Hope Field. Now, you have to be able to have a map in your head. It'd be good if we it's very visual, okay? So, yeah. Obviously, we're on the radio, so you have to close your eyes and you have to think about it. Hope Field is the is a big field just to immediately to the south of the A12, and then immediately to the south of that. Brentwood already own that land, and the land to the east of that land that they own is available to purchase. Mm. So suddenly we're talking about a fair amount of land that the council has or could get its hands on, yeah, other than Hope Field. Now, a lot of the other land, if you can think of a wedge between the A12 and the Shenfield and Chelmsford roads that lead all the way from the town centre, Wilson's Corner, all the way up to the Mount Nessing roundabout, it's a wedge of greenbelt land. Mm. And about 80% of it is owned by one particular landowner who owns another parcel of land called Officer's Meadow, which is land adjacent to Shenfield High School. Mm. From Alexander Lane. It's a bit more greenbelt land. Now, obviously, Brentwood are looking to build some new houses. This is all part of the local development plan. Oh, by the way, if you're listening and you're interested in Hopefield, don't panic. We're not talking about building houses on Hopefield. That's not on the agenda, yeah, of course. But it's a possibility that some new houses might be built on Officer's Meadow, which, again, is adjacent to houses that are already existing in Shenfield. And if that happens, Barry Aspinall, the leader of the council, said that the landowner, as part of the deal, would be able to sell the land he owns to Brentwood Borough Council, and the land he owns is the other land that's adjacent to Hopefield. And it's quite a big chunk of land. Mm. So that would mean that all the land between the A12 and Shenfield Road and Chelmsford Road would be in council hands, and it could be protected against further development. Yeah. So obviously if the council's got it, they're not going to build on it. Because we mentioned this last week, that Barry was interested in opening a Shenfield Country Park, and this is a further extension of the plan. So last week he said it, this week they've had a think about how they're actually going to achieve it. Now, there's more land as well that could come into play. Just opposite the Brentwood Centre, there's a patch of land that goes down to the A12, literally across the roads here now. Yep. I'm pointing, which is no good to any of our listeners, just pointing out the window. And that could also be taken into council ownership, even though a developer owns it and has had options on it for 50 years but never built on it. Mm. Because they took it over when the Brentwood bypass of the A12 here was built in 1965. So the council are looking actively about what they can do to create a buffer of land, firstly around Brentwood and secondly around Hopefield, to create this country park that we talked about last week that might have other rescue centres and a visitor centre and an education centre. Mm. And so on. Now, if they do actually then build some houses on, and we're not talking about hundreds of houses because there wouldn't be the room for it, but if we talk about building some houses on the Shenfield Hutton patch of land called Officer's Meadow, then Barry was talking about a decent medical centre being built there. And he says Hutton and Shenfield don't have one. Mm. And it would be a good opportunity. And there could even be a small park and ride as well, where people could park up and then they could get a lift into town there.
Yeah.
The access would be on the off the Chelmsford Road, again, just a little bit further up from Shenfield School, away towards the Mount Nessing roundabout. So they're looking into it, and there's a good possibility. Now, talking about development at the moment, because this is a big issue, the second thing that came up was the Dunton Garden suburb. Now, there's a consultation taking place at the moment As listeners will know, this is a proposed housing development to be shared between Basildon Council and Brentwood Council, which will be situated to the south of the A127, to the east of West Taunton and to the west of Langdon in unused land that's there at the moment. And there's a consultation going forward, which closes on the 17th of February, which is the same time that the major local plan consultation, the one that we're advertising on Phoenix, is closing. Now, Basildon have extended their consultation on their side to 17th of March. So Brentwood have reluctantly had to do the same. But what this means is there's some drop-in events next week and the week after. And they were going to be a week before the consultation ended. And I think West Taunton Parish Council were complaining about that. Now it's going to be a full 5 weeks before the end of the consultation. Mm. So that gives people plenty of time to go in and air their views at the drop-in meetings, which we're publicising again on Phoenix on the website and on air.
Do they know how many houses they're looking to build in that area?
They don't. No, nobody really knows.
Would they be quite expensive there at Lang? Because Langdon's quite, would the average price be about £300,000,
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, these details haven't been fleshed out, but the whole point of house building throughout the UK is to create affordable houses so that people can actually buy houses. Because
did you get affordable houses when you started off, Paul? Did you have to move into a very small place and pay little bits of rent? What happened with you?
Well, it was the market made it affordable, to be honest, because
still a struggle though, wasn't it, when you bought your first house?
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, well, I had a flat when I was 21 years old, and I bought that on a joint mortgage, and we were both earning about £6,000 each. Now, with inflation today, that would probably be about £10,000 each, which is not a lot of money. But we were able to get a mortgage on the back of it, and the flat was £45,000, which again today would probably, with inflation today, would be about £80,000 or £90,000. But the flat, of course, would be worth about £200,000 because housing inflation's gone up much more than normal wage inflation. So it was affordable. If you made a decision to buy somewhere, it was. And if I've been 20 years younger, and I tried to do it now, there's no way.
No.
Especially working here, there's no way I'd have any money to buy a house.
No.
Just wouldn't happen. I'd live in the station. I would actually create a bedroom.
He does. Don't tell him.
In a bedroom and a entertaining area for guests. Okay. I think that's, I mean, there is no plan, but firstly about the number of houses and the size of houses. It's very unlikely that there's going to be, it's going to be exclusively houses that the average person cannot afford. The idea is to create something that people can afford. We already said in previous weeks that there is no intention to have rows and rows of estates either, or tower blocks or anything like that. This is meant to be a 21st century village. Don't know what that means, but then I'm not the visionary. So there's obviously ideas about renewable energy and green spaces and that kind of thing, and obviously there's got to be lots of housing as well. And it's going to take quite a few years. I know there's a lot of resistance already, but then there always is when you build houses, isn't there? So if you don't like the sound of it, go to the meetings and
you're gonna say go live somewhere else. I thought you were gonna say just clear off.
If you don't like it, go and live in Russia.
Well, I think they've got Shenfield Common. I mean, why not build a few houses there? They've got William Hunter Way.
Steady.
I think that'd be fine. You've got loads of spaces then.
That doesn't represent the views of the management of the station.
I'm kidding.
I think we'll move on from that. Okay. So the consultation, bottom line is consultation has been extended, so you've got more time to air your views to the council, pro or anti. Okay, now yesterday at Chelmsford City Hall, Barry Aspinall attended a meeting of the leaders and chief executives of all the councils in Essex. Two things on the agenda. The first one was devolution. We talked about this in previous weeks. Now this is all about Essex getting together, forming a subgroup and deciding what they're going to have, what they want to tell the government that they want to have the power to spend. So in other words, at the moment, the government in Whitehall decides how much Essex should spend on its roads. Essex say, no, hang on a minute, we want the government to give us that £20 million or whatever it is, don't know the figure, to spend on the roads, and we will decide ourselves how we spend it. You don't tell us how to spend it, we'll decide ourselves. And that way things can get done, like the widening of the A12, which has been talked about for ever since they built it 50 years ago, and so on. Now, there's other areas that central government get involved in as well. I mean, they don't have any, they don't actually pay for as much as you think they do. You know, they'll pay for the upkeep of the roads, but they won't pick the litter up off the roads around it and that kind of thing. That has to come to Essex County Council. There's no influence over the price tariff that's set at Dartford Tunnel and Dartford Crossing. That's set by central government, and Essex should be doing that, because these are people who are coming through Essex and, if you like, damaging the roads, or, and Essex is going to need to have to maintain the infrastructure of the county. So this is all very, at the moment, it's hypothetical is not the word, because there was an intention to move towards devolution to the regions. That's what the government said. So this is all Essex planning and being proactive and saying, OK, this is how much we want, and these are the areas that we want to spend our money in. So Barry's been involved in that. Brought something interesting up. I missed this in the news. Boris Johnson, the mayor of London, said that he would like to extend London. Did you hear that?
No.
He would like to extend London. And then there was a rather passionate plea from Barry about why this should not be done, along the lines of people should show their passports when they enter Essex and that kind of thing. There should be a 25-foot wall up around the county. And that kind of, it was all in jest, of course. But yeah. It was quite... I'm paraphrasing what he said, but I think a lot of people in Essex would feel like that about London. They would not want to be part of London at all. I don't know what Boris Johnson said, because we only heard about it at the meeting, and I've hopped
He probably
here.
Doesn't even know what he said, to and be quite honest.
It just sounded like madness, absolute madness. And I think a presenter on another radio station in Essex,
yeah,
BBC Essex, won't mention which one, suggested Brentwood might be the place that it gets extended, just as a hypothetical example, to which the leader of the council was not particularly impressed that the idea should be mooted, even hypothetically, which I think is fair enough. Actually,
well, I'm from Seven Kings, and it's still Seven Kings, Ilford, Essex.
Well,
I've always said I'm from Essex.
I'm originally from Romford, and people in Romford think they're in Essex, but people in Essex don't think Romford's in Essex.
And Ilford is as well.
It is. Well, yeah. And again, that was a 1965 thing. That was all the way up to the River Lee was Essex, and then they created the London boroughs, and they call it London in Essex, I think, or Essex in London. The people who live there now, it's a big thing. It would be nice to see some of those places back to Essex, make them more rural as well, I think. Back to the old days would be nice, but certainly the other way around, Essex being part of London, I can't really see a London borough of Brentwood.
Boris, clear off.
Yeah,
sorry, I just did a hand gesture then as well, sorry, you can't see it on the radio, it wasn't very pleasant, sorry.
Okay, if that's what he said, then we don't. I think we need to get somebody in for a bit of balance to state the argument for Brentwood being part of London, if we can find someone, which we can't, apart from Boris.
Yeah,
and
he's welcome here anytime.
Yeah, of course he is. Okay, let's move on. Waste. Another
that's not
part
a nice
of the,
thing to say about Boris.
Another part of the, waste. Another part of the leaders' meeting was talking about waste and recycling. This is a hot issue with local councils. Recycling companies say that the bottom has dropped out of the market, so the local authorities cannot make any money on recycling. You would think if you collect a load of paper and cans and so on, and then you sell them to recycling companies, you might make a profit. Well, you can't make a profit because they're not paying enough money for it, but the councils have to do it because obviously it's ethical and it's part of their bid to save the planet, which we'll all be grateful for in 200 years time and so on. Okay, now that wasn't meant to be sarcastic, by the way. Brentwood is looking with Basildon and Castle Point and Rochford all together to see if there's any ways of improving this. Now, contrary to what was said in the media, and I know they were referring to the front page of the Gazette, which stated, was it this week? Yes, it was this week. Could Brentwood's go to fortnightly bin collections? Big question mark. Okay, so the Gazette wasn't saying that it was going to happen. They said, will it happen? Could it happen? Because the deputy leader, William Lloyd, said that he's not ruling anything out. He was on record to say that, but he was talking about everything. Now, let's put the residents' minds at rest. Councillor Aspinall, the leader of the council, has said that the Brentwood Accord, as long as they're in power, will not introduce fortnightly bin collections. Yeah. Okay, refuse collections. You know, what happens with recycling? Well, he didn't talk about recycling, because that might happen well, he didn't say that might happen and that might not happen, but that's where the options are. Certainly when it comes to the black bags, the bins, the stuff that goes into landfill, that is going to be picked up every week. Mm. He says it's not going fortnightly on his watch. Okay, so good news if you had any concerns about that. If you do have any concerns about it, you can meet the leader. He is going to be at the town hall on the following dates, 7th of February, 7th of March and the 28th of March. We're going to put those on the website later as well. The public can come in and talk to Barry and also to any of his colleagues who might be there, any committee chairmen and that kind of thing. It's going to be between 9:30 and 12:30. There's going to be no extra cost to the ratepayers because the town hall is usually open on a Saturday anyway. These are all Saturdays. It's open for staff usually and not for the public. But he's opening it up for the public so that he can meet the public and talk. And that's just before the election period starts, which starts on 30th of March. So, so you've got three opportunities and then there'll be some electioneering from all sides after that. On the 7th of February, the public are also welcome to come along and have a look at some furniture that the council doesn't want and take it away if they want to take
it
away.
It's like Big Brother, they're selling it off.
Yeah, well, giving it away.
Giving it away, yeah, there you go.
Desks, drawers, office equipment,
doors,
that kind of thing.
A door?
A door. I didn't want to say it.
You're still waiting for your door, are you?
Say it every week. I didn't want to say
Where's
it
Where's our door, Barry?
Councillor Aspinall will be here in about 1 hour time, and I will be getting some updates on the doors, or he's not having any.
It's our new studio door, if you hadn't been listening for the previous weeks. There we go.
It's promised, it's on the way, I'm sure it will be coming. So that's happening. Now, finally, there's a there's an extraordinary meeting of the council which is going to take place on the 4th of February. That's next week. And this is for two things. This is to elect aldermen and freemen of the borough. Now, and that also includes alderwomen and free women as well. Now, these are, I'm just trying to work out the exact difference between them. I do believe that freemen and free women are people who were non-political, but they've done great service to the borough, and it's a way of recognising them. So it's like our own little MBEs, our own little awards. So the people who are being listed as freemen and honorary freemen and honorary free women of the borough, and I do believe that they're entitled to come along to council meetings because I think there are three at the moment, and one of them is Sir Trevor Brooking, who is of course fine servant to Essex's only football team that people in Essex should be supporting, West Ham United, and England as well, and he's done some good work for the FA as well apparently. So on the council minutes, you'll see apologies for, especially at the main council meetings, apologies for absence, Sir Trevor Brooking. And you look at it and you think, what? And that's why, because they got the they're entitled to go there. So if they can't make it, then they give their apologies, just like any councillor. So the people who are going to be elected as free men and free women are Roy and Carol Dyer. Roy Dyer recently received an MBE, and we're grateful to Roy and Carol Dyer here at Phoenix because they gave us our first premises, actually, and they helped us back in 1996, so they helped us out. Colin Savelle, who's a former chief executive of the borough and a former presenter on Phoenix FM as well, did some stuff with Brian Lynch in about 2000, quite a while ago, and John Windham, who is 25 years associated with the Royal British Legion Youth Band, although I understand that the band has just changed its name because they've just ended their affiliation with the Royal British Legion. They're going to carry on and do the same thing that they used to do, but I think there was a money issue with that. Nothing improper. I think the Royal British Legion just wanted a lot of money for them to carry on, and they changed their rules and they couldn't carry on. And actually, the Royal British Legion Youth Band, as it's stated in the minutes, are also going to admitted to become honorary free men and free women of the borough as well. So there's a big thank you to them in doing that. Now, the aldermen and alderwomen who are going to be elected, we have these are all former councillors, and many of them are former mayors as well. Anne Long, Pauline Myers, Valerie Fletcher, Alan Davis, Derek Hardy, David Minns, Charles Myers, Ken Wright, and Keith Brown of Frining. There were two Keith Browns, so that was the Frining one, not the former leader of the council. And the aldermen and alderwomen, they can come along to council meetings, they can talk, but they can't vote at council meetings, and they can also represent the borough if the mayor and the deputy mayor aren't available. So, you know, maybe they could look at the civic awards Barry suggested. These are people who've done, not just been councillors, but they've done additional work for the community because they were councillors, but it's been very good work, such as town twinning, Home Start, Crossroads Care, that kind of thing. And finally, there's an interim chief executive being appointed at the full council meeting on the 4th of February. Graham Ferrant, who is the chief executive of Thurrock, will also be jointly doing it with Brentwood as well. It's because the opposition said that they would not support a chief executive on his own. They wanted to share the job with somebody else, so nobody would come forward and do it if they realised they might only be in the job for 2 months. So there's going to be this sharing of the role. Unfortunately, and that's it. Now, Councillor Aspinall, you haven't heard the last of him. Obviously, he's talking on behalf of Brentwood Council throughout today and throughout my summary today. He's going to be in just after 1 o'clock with Mike Jones talking. He's the leader of the Accords, which is the coalition of parties that are running the council, the Lib Dems, Labour, Brentwood First and an Independent. And he will be talking about what they've achieved and the future going forward, I would imagine. And he's also given me a hit list of songs that he'd like played while he's on air as well, which is nice. That's what community radio is all about. If you would like it, give me a hit list of songs that you would like played. We will do what we can to accommodate it, because it's, you know, I don't want to think for myself. The more people who come in and tell us what to play, the better. We like that. Okay, so that will be happening just after 1 o'clock.
Lovely. Where are you going now? Oh, blimey, that was quick. I think you just take your headphones off and walk out really straight up as the boat just to get a
break. I feel like I've been here all day. Yeah. Sorry, are there any follow-up questions?
No, there wasn't. I was just sort of going to relax quite. You know, you put me off at the beginning because you put my glasses on. That sort of sent me into a bit of hysterics.
Okay.
I couldn't help myself. Right, well, I thought I'd play, actually, Rock the Clash Bar. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I like that. I'm a big fan of The Clash. Like The Clash. Go for it.